And I can fly because I'm an angel. Wow. Always so good to be with you. Sometimes I want to say that God resides in Shofar, but the other churches will stone me. But thank you so much for having us. And you know, God always brings us here when we are really going through a very hectic time. So when we come to Shofar, we come to Stellenbosch, we're not just coming to share, we're coming to receive as well. And it's always been like that. When times are very hectic, especially with ministry that we do, having sleepless nights, long days, driving all over the place. We live in Worcester, driving from Worcester to Simonstown, from Worcester to Hermanus, from Worcester to Khayelitsha, and you know all the townships around. And literally, it becomes very exhausting. And for an introvert like me, then I don't even know who I am again. But thank you so much. So coming here has really done something again to us, and we really thank you. And we thank you. And it's good that we didn't come to your house. We would have fought with you for the one bowl of water that he had. At least he had something. I don't know if you had anything to sprinkle on yourself. Okay. Thank God for mothers. But really, thank you so much for having us. Oh, wonderful people of God. Where do we start from? You know, anytime they ask me to share about what we do, then I don't even know which angle. Because there's so many faces to the issue of human trafficking. But the good thing is I know that Jesus sees all those faces of human trafficking. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He has anointed you to set the captives free. So there is provision for the captives. There is provision for those who are lost. There's provision for those who are in the clutches of Satan. There's provision for those who feel very hopeless. I've never seen hopelessness in my life the way I saw on the streets. When we go out at night to witness and share the love of Christ with the treasures. You know, it's a time where you go out and a girl looks at you and she is so beautiful. If you call me an angel, you call her what? Archangel. I mean, even one of them, her name is Angel. So adorable. But then you're looking at them from behind and you're rushing these treasures in the dark. And you're rushing to come, maybe with a gift for them and the message that you feel God has put in your heart to say that God loves them. And then you come to the four, and she's like, stoned. And you're wondering, and you open your mouth and say, you know, God really loves you. And the, she bursts into tears, you know, and she's weeping deeply, you know. But as they weep, as they cry, they try to still keep the pose because they're still waiting for the client. They have to do that because the next guy you're seeing there is not just a client, he's a pimp. Making them, compelling them to sell their bodies and to bring everything back to him. And he decides what she will get out of it. And you know, most times what she gets is drugs. Because the drugs keep them addicted. So they cannot go away from the pimps. They're addicted. They stay with them. You know, and then Angel is crying and she's saying, and finally she opens up and she says, I don't think I'm good enough for anything. I think this is what I'm meant for, to sell my body. And if I don't make 2,000 rands for him tonight, for my dealer or my chief, whatever they call them, then he's going to beat me hard. And there's been lots of cases of violence. We know one of the king pimps who actually kills some of his victims and puts them under the bed and walks away. And he's been to jail so many times, he bribes the police and he comes out. And these are the kind of people that God is sending us to go and have a meal with. We sit with him at McDonald's, we, you know, eat together. We hold hands and we pray and he says, I think I like you, come to my house. And you know, foolish Alex and myself will still go to them. Why? It's something that really shocks me. Every time I read this story, what I'm going to share with you this morning, it really scares me. And I don't know if it scares you. I hope it scares you too. But you know, anytime God reveals his glory, we have to be afraid. Because when the glory, the dimension of God's glory is equivalent to the dimension of his judgment. So when I heard the word that God's glory is here, I said, God, oh my goodness, why did I come this way? I should have gone to the convergence conference. Because the expectation on us, if God releases his glory, is not for you and I to feel good. Remember, the anointing is upon us to set the captives free. It's not to feel good. You know, when I travel in Europe, I see that Christianity has become everything is I. There's iPad, there's iPhone. There's iTunes, Christianity is what? What do you call it? I faith. I what? I Christ. Yes, I Christ, you know. It's all about how does he make me feel? Emotivism. And we have to be very careful because this God that we're in love with, what he means by saying, if you love me, is take it out and show it to the world. If he releases his glory, it's not for us to consume it. It's for us to transmit it. So the glory changes us, but not for us to stay in it and be basking in it and be feeling too cool about ourselves. It's to take it out. So it scares me. And then, dump me. I read in the book of, the prophets, when Isaiah was praying and saying, Lord, you know, he was praying and God showed himself to him. And you know what Isaiah did, you know, he was afraid, isn't it? And I went and was praying that same prayer. I was praying and I was waiting on the Lord. I kept away from food, from people. I was just in a solitary place, really waiting on the Lord. I said, God, I just want to see your face. Because when I got saved, I told you guys a story the other time I came, and I got saved, I only had God. I had no one. Everything was against me. Family was against me. No friends. I was literally alone. So I just developed a love relationship with God, you know, just to love God and to love him and love him. I said, God, you know, we've been in this for a long time. Show me your face. I said, Moses saw you. He, you know, he prayed and you revealed yourself. I said, even if you don't show me everything, just a bit of you, that I may see you. And this day I'm on my knees, I'm praying, and then I see the glory of God. Nobody told me to start confessing my sins. One by one, they just came like that. You know, conviction here and there. And I screamed and I couldn't handle it. So sometimes now when I pray and I say, Lord, show me your face, I'm like, okay, God, am I going to like what I'm seeing, what I'm going to see? But you know, we sing every single time in church, show me your face, let me know your grace. You know, all those things. We sing and we're crying. I would say, Lord, we love you. We're so quick to say, oh, Jesus, I love you. And even it has become our subconscious vibe. I love you, Jesus, but we actually don't even know what we are saying. Because if you see the face of Jesus, is it going to be what you want to see? Would you like what you're seeing? And it scares me because Jesus showed me in Matthew chapter 25, you know that scripture that, maybe we should read it? Matthew 25, I think from verse 40. I want to wrap up quickly, then I'll show you a video. You like to watch videos? I'll show you a video. Okay, so I read Matthew chapter 25 from verse 40. The king will reply. I mean, you know the story, so I'm just going to read from there. It's a very common Sunday school story. Okay, my grandmother always told me this story. So the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me. You are cursed into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For he didn't just send them away because he doesn't like their faces. This is the reason. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When was it, Lord? That, you know, Jesus, if I'd seen you hungry, me, I'll go out of my way. I'll take my wardrobe. I'll go to Woolworths. I'll go to all these places and get every single clothes and bring for you to make a choice. But Jesus, the thing is, I didn't just see you. You hungry, Jesus? How could I have done that? If you had come, Jesus, no. Even if it was just an image of you. You know, this is how, because our preconceived idea about who God is different from how God is revealing himself. So God has chosen to reveal himself out of the people that we see and we don't want to do anything with them. The destitute, the voiceless, the ones that are on the streets, the naked, the hungry, the ones in prison emotionally, psychologically, in the prison of human trafficking. That is modern day slavery. They're in bondage. And Jesus is saying, that's my face. That's me right there. And you see me, you ignore me. It's like I don't even count. And I just go to church and I sit in church and I think I've come to meet Jesus. But I've driven past Jesus on the road. He says, one of the least of these, not one of the mightiest of these. The least, those ones, the destitute. You saw me, you ignored me, you left me, and you want to spend paradise with me? I don't think it's going to work. When I encountered this scripture, I started looking around. There's this homeless lady that used to come around our house when we were in Durbanville. And when I read this scripture, it so touched my heart. And I think my husband too read it like afterwards, and he thought about the same woman. Like always drunk and looking for money. And sometimes, you know, you just go, sorry, I can't help you. And that's it. We don't even think of them as people. We don't think that these people were designed. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. He didn't design them to waste them. He designed them with a purpose, with a destiny over their lives. But they have become lost. They have no direction. They have been stolen by the enemy. They have been imprisoned by the evil one. And Jesus says, but I have got a solution. I have prepared you in Christ Jesus right from the foundations of the earth to go and show forth my good works. You are my masterpiece. I've put in you the anointing, the grace, the compassion, the love, everything you need for life and godliness, everything good to furnish you to do my will is in you because of them. So the answer is inside us. What they need to encounter God is inside us. But we're too consumed with our own lives and our comforts. And we don't even see the face of Jesus around us. And yet we're crying every day, show me your face, Jesus. But if we open our eyes and start looking, then we'll find Jesus. They're naked. I have this band here this morning because it reminds me. You know, the victims of human trafficking and prostitution are really, really naked. You talk about shame. I tell you, when you look into their eyes, there are no eyes to look because they will avoid you because of the shame. They think like when you look at them, you see all the filth and they don't want to look at you. All that you can see on them that has been put on them that they carry so like comfortably, not comfortably, but maybe just they carry it on them is the tag which says that we are for sale. I met a girl in Italy a few months ago, this year. And she saw me, she was running away, an African girl. So when they see Africans, they run away twice. Because they don't know if you know their family back home. And you would go and say it. So they flee before you. And so it's at night, but you know, black people will still see black people in the dark. I don't know for how our eyes have been accustomed to accommodate the darkness, and we still find our black faces. So she's like, whoop! And I'm sure my other friends are seeing shadows, but I'm seeing a complete human being. And she saw me and saw my face, even my facial, you know, everything. And she thought I looked like someone in her family. And this was all in the dark. And she's fleeing, and I'm also going after her, you know, because God says you have to seek my treasures in the dark. So I'm seeking with the whole of my life because what a privilege. I've seen a treasure. No one will stop me. Go for it. And while I'm going after her, there's another one. The client has taken her from the road. Sure, Italy is bad. The client picked her from the road and just took her into the bush. And that's where they do the manifestation, in the bush. Okay? And his bike is out there on the street and they're in the bush. So that's when I said, okay, that has been taken away. Let me take that treasure. So I go after this one and finally she stops. And we go and we start speaking. But eventually, you know how first they'll reject you and later they'll open up. And she says to us, she said, when I came into Italy, I had to work for 3 years, 8 months. And I raised, from her, selling her body, she made 30,000 euros for her trafficker. 30,000 euros for her trafficker. Okay, so she's paid off all her debts. Now she says she's free. You see, freedom in Christ, two different things. So she's now selling her body for herself. And she's young. She's like maybe 19 or 20, very young. And she's built 3 houses for her family in Nigeria. And they have no clue what she's going through. but she sends the money and they like it. So she looks after her parents, she looks after her younger ones, and the parents are living a good life in Nigeria, but this is who she is. And she said to me, she said, Anne, please go back and warn our people that this is not life. They mustn't come. I said, I'm willing. That's what God called me to do, but I would want to empower people like you to tell your own stories. And that's why we're setting up a safe house in Nigeria. That's why I'm going this month. Going to Nigeria, we're setting up a safe house where we can train these girls to make their own films. So tell their own stories with film, with photography, with music, and just really share from their experiences and how God turned their lives around. I think it's going to be more powerful. But before that happens, we're committed to telling their stories, and it's one of the stories we're going to share with you today. And so most of the films, actually all that we do in this field, they're all based on real life stories. So there's nothing we're going to show you that you feel, oh, these are things that are happening. And because we're Christians, we want to be decent in productions, we don't show the graphic sides, but there are more things there, graphic things that really happen that are in our heads. Sometimes we even look for outlets to share it. And we like Shofar Church because you guys are willing to live on the edge to hear the scary things. You know, some churches have told us don't talk about these kind of things here. So it's really a dark world out there. And that is the nakedness and the shame that they carry. And the price tag is all they have got left. Is it the shame of when the girl looks at you and says, but thank you so much for your ministry saving my life. And now I feel better because if I wasn't saved now, what I would be doing is actually going to sleep with a man who tells me, okay, there are children in the house. Censored. Okay, I'm not going to go far. May God just reveal to you what the realities of these treasures are. I tell you, it's nothing that you listen to and be the same. And if we do not allow these things to break our hearts, and if we just mind our own business, then we're out of the business of God. Because God's business means that we care for them. We see his face right there. And we are there. We show the love of Christ no matter how difficult it is. Because this is bondage. Bondage, people in bondage don't just come out like that. It's a process. And we need to ask the Lord to give us the patience to really commit to this. And human trafficking is happening everywhere. We don't see it because we are not looking. And we've decided to close our eyes. But remember, as we're closing our eyes, Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, I've been showing you my face. You just refuse to look at me. I'm poor. I'm naked. I'm hungry. I'm in prison. And you did nothing with me. And they're all over when we drive. Even if we don't drive, we know where to find them. In the townships, guys, the things that happen in the townships, that is the place that the traffickers go because they are vulnerable. They always want a better life. They don't have information. Okay? They don't know what it means to live life. Every promise that comes, they go whoop into it. They're not informed. They are in darkness. There's no enlightenment. When you have God's light, you can see. If there's light, there's direction, there's illumination. They don't have it. And they're deceived, and the traffickers just go and have a good day. But Jesus wants to send us there to go and work around, you know, the people that are really, really vulnerable. While we're doing this film, we're going to show you. Have you heard of Ukutwala? Ukutwala? You've heard of Ukutwala? Good. It's a term here in South Africa. It's where there are grown-up men that all they want to do is to marry little girls. So the girls will be their wives. And in the Eastern Cape, I tell you, every year hundreds of these girls are taken out of school and sent into Ukutwala. They're abducted and sent to husbands' homes. Children! And this doesn't only happen in South Africa. It happens in other parts of Africa. It happens in Nigeria. Amongst the Muslims. The Muslims really believe it's their religion to marry children. 12-year-old is in a husband's house. Child bride. What happens to the destiny of God upon the life of this child? And then as a result, and then they, you know, because they are too young, their bodies haven't developed, and then they end up raping them, and eventually they have fistulas, you know. And all these things, you know, God, the way God leads me, when I used to film back in the days, before I married Alex, I was doing the camera work myself. So God gave me a cameraman. I don't have to stress and see things I don't want to see. So I was filming a documentary. They were doing a surgery for this woman, and her uterus had just prolapsed. Okay? And so when I'm in the mobile theater, I'm sitting there, and she's looking like normal, you know, all covered up in the theater clothes. She's looking normal, and I'm just going with my camera. You know, with the camera person, you're looking for point of interest. And then I'm like, but she doesn't look sick. But when the surgery time came, and it was, you know, it took American doctors to fly all the way from America to come and do this. Nobody was willing to look after this woman. When that thing happened to her, the old man she married forgot about her. Because, you know, with that thing, then the urine just flows without control. And then they smell, you know, so nobody wants them around. And she's sitting on this thing. And when they opened her up to start the surgery, I went like, so I'm looking, I'm checking through the lens of the camera, and I'm looking with my naked eyes. Like, I couldn't believe what I saw. Where is the husband? Nowhere to be found. He's gone to marry another wife. And this is the reality of many women, you know. So this film is going to show you a bit about that. And then you can ask questions, we can talk about what next. But I really feel if God is calling some people here to go to the townships, Ukutwala, that's what it's called in South Africa, is a tradition, and they believe it's their culture, and nothing will change it. The government is trying to fight it, but they're like, no, this is my culture. So we need to go into those areas. I think it's with the Xhosas. I don't know if the Zulus do it as well. Do they do it? Okay. So we've started befriending some of the Christians who are in those communities. And we're going to churches, who, if they allow us, not everybody allows us, then we've shown the film already in Vusa in a township. And they told us that even right there, they were victims of human trafficking. And the characters we got to feature in the film, they were like, oh, this is my uncle's story. Now, if he sees me in this film, he will think I told you about his story. You know, so this is a reality. It's very close to home. And Proverbs 30, I think 31 says that... Is it 30 or 31 where he says, be a voice for those who cannot speak for themselves? 30 verse 8 or so. God has called us to not just speak for ourselves, but for those who cannot speak for themselves. The victims of Ukutwala, they cannot speak. You'll see in the movie, the mother cannot speak because she herself, she was a victim of Ukutwala. It's become a norm for her. The father cannot speak because he's the one that sells the girl and takes the money. And he's a face of human trafficking as well. So there's so many faces of this problem of human trafficking, but we have so many Christians with the light of God, so many Christians with the glory of God, so many Christians anointed by God, so we can make a difference. We can. So I'll just read about Peter, the last scary thing I want to share, and it's in John. John 21. Another famous passage again. Jesus asking Peter, do you love me? Peter says, I love you. Okay. Verse 15, 21, John 15, 21. Sorry, John 21, 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and this was after the whole saga of Jesus being betrayed and Peter denying Christ, Jesus going to the cross, and Peter getting sick and tired of the whole drama, even though he repented, and says, okay, boys, let's go fishing. And he's abandoned everything that he thought was his calling, and he's gone back fishing. And then Jesus shows up again towards the end of the movie. The music changes, and then Jesus Christ is back again on the scene. And there's more drama, and he gets, you know, gives them the word, they get the fish, and they're eating, and it looks like the movie is just about to resolve, and a happy ending, and suddenly, something happens, there's silence, and there's just the crispy voice of Jesus, saying to Peter, actually asking him. And you know, Jesus had looked at Peter already when he denied him, so Peter still had the picture of, if he looks at me like this, I know something is coming. So he looks at him again, and Peter is like, okay. And you know Peter was a sanguine. He would speak before thinking. So at this point, He's like, okay, he's preparing his answers quickly before even the master says anything. And Jesus asked him, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Number one. Second time, again, Jesus said, and there was nothing in the conversation. This is just it. Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, don't you have any dialogue? This director, why do you just keep repeating the same dialogue? I've given the answer. What part of it don't you understand? Yes, I know that in Nigeria, there's just only two words for love. In German, I think they have about 18 words for love. In other cultures, it's maybe just one word. But Peter says, even though here we're talking agape, we're talking filio, whatever, but Jesus, you understand that I love you. What else do you want me to say? I'm out of words. The problem is, Jesus repeated the same thing three times. So I was thinking, you know, my mother wanted everything instant. She was such a powerhouse. So if she called your name once, you must appear. Like wherever you are, you have to be summoned up and appear right in front of her. And then when I grew up and I said, I don't want this lifestyle, she shouldn't just be doing this to me. I'm her daughter, so she has no right to command me like that. You know, she was like, every time she spoke, there was like fire. And men were running all around the place. And you know, Nigeria is a very man-dominated society. But not in my mother's case. My mother and her heritage, they all dominated the environment. Both men and women, children and everything, they dominated. Goats and animals. She even actually preferred animals. So she would call my name and expect me to be there right at the moment. Then I decided, no, she's my mother. She can't order me like that. Not knowing I was manifesting like her. Now they tell me I have her genes. And I'm like her. So I was fast becoming like her. So I was rebelling. And so I decided when she calls me the first time, I'm not going to answer because maybe it's not even important. Because she just wanted things done instantly. And sometimes if you're not lucky, she calls your name by accident and you come, she'll give you the work. So I understood the, you know, the way things were moving. And then my sisters came from school and they heard my mother screaming my name. They're like, okay, because my name is Anne Jodo. So you call me Anne, but my name is Anne Jodo. And at home they call me Jodo. So she called my name the first time. And I was just like doing my normal thing. And they're like, didn't you hear? I said, no, that's just the first time. If she's serious, you called me the second time. The third time I know it's real. So it's the third one, I now decide to respond to the third one. Because most times the first one might be an accident. You go, you get responsibility for yourself. I tell you, and it's a stupid thing. Maybe she would just sit down and say, I don't like to see this thread on the carpet. Pick it up. So I don't want to respond to that. Anyway, so she goes, the first time she goes, Jodo! I'm chilled. And then I hear, Ah, Jodo! I'm still chilled. Ah, Jodo, yeah! Then I know this is serious. Then I ran to her. So the third one is a very emphatic one. You cannot miss that because if you hear Ajodo ye and you are still sitting, whatever befalls you, you ask for it. She's going to minister to you and nobody will help you. So the third one, the Ajodo ye, so it has a prefix and a suffix. My name is only in the middle. I have to respond to that. Then I run to her. So I'm reading this story. I'm thinking, wow, Jesus did the same thing to Peter. And you know, in Nigeria, they also say, when the elders come to you and when you are misbehaving, you're not treating your wife nice and the elders know about it. And they come. They call your name. Abok. And then you respond, not like that though. And then they call him again. Abok. Abok. How many times have I called you?
And then you will answer, you know that. Do you see it in Nigerian films? Guys, emphasis. The third time, don't joke with it. So they will ask you to repeat after them. How many times have I called you?
3 times. Good.
The next time I hear you do this to your wife,
then your verdict follows.
So the third time is not a joke, guys. And so the first time Peter answers, Jesus says, that's number one. Second time, the third time, I'm in business. Peter, this thing you call you love me, this is what it means. This is what I require of you. Feed my lamb. Take care of my sheep. And why didn't God say goat? Sheep. You know, my grandmother told me that the difference between... My grandmother took the scriptures literally. She told me that the goats will go to hell and the sheep will go to heaven. Then I said, why? She said, because it's in the scripture. And she said, don't you see how goats behave? They are so stubborn. Don't you look at their faces? That even when they're crossing the road and you're driving, the goats will still want to go like this. They feel they're smarter than you. But she said, the sheep, look at them. They'll go, they're lost. You know, they look confused. They look vulnerable. You know? But the goat looks like he knows what he's doing. And Jesus doesn't like them, so they're not going to heaven. Okay? So, but the sheep, the lamb, there's something vulnerable about them. They're actually lost. And see the picture of them crossing the... You guys are in Cape Town, in Stellenbosch, whatever, Somerset West. You don't have them crossing the road. When you go to places like Nigeria, you see them, they compete with you on the roads. You're going, they're crossing also with you. Even sometimes they go to the airport. They even fly. I saw somebody flying with his goat from Lagos to Kano. Put them on the aircraft. But the thing is, these goats, they don't look vulnerable. They look stubborn, actually. But the sheep, the lambs. And that's why Jesus himself came and he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He was helpless. He didn't say anything. They took him like that and slew him. And now he's saying, the least of these, my brethren, those are the sheep. Those are the lambs. And if you say that you love me, you better look at them. Feed them. Right now, the male treasures that we have, so the pimps that are saved right now, they're not selling drugs. They release the girls under them. So, and they preach to some of the girls, and some of them have stopped selling their bodies. Some have gone, and they've gotten married, started a new life. So these men don't have anything to eat. When they play soccer, they play on an empty stomach. They run, they play, they sweat, but there's no food to eat. And they have to trust the Lord for their rent and for their food. They don't sell drugs anymore. What a temptation. And the clients call them. They say, no, I'm not in this business anymore. That's the hungry sheep right there. They're so hungry. And Jesus sees their pain. And they're praying to Jesus. And he sees it and he's like, I'll put the solution in some people. They must come and, you know what I mean? I pray that today God will do something in our hearts. And we'll see the face of Jesus right there. I love Jesus, even though I'm afraid of the scripture. But let him give us the grace to love him in deeds and not just in words. Lip service does not survive the crow of the rooster. If we claim that we love Jesus, it's all lip service, it's just church worship in our mouths. When the rooster crows, we would have denied him 3 times already without realizing. Because Peter was doing lip service. You know, he even went and cut the ear of the high priest quickly to demonstrate to Jesus that he was busy loving Jesus. And Jesus said, that's not the motivation. That's not the right spirit. So what is our activities in church like? Are we just busy doing the wrong things and we think we're claiming that we love Jesus because it's for our own good? You know, Peter did it. He thought he was going to please Jesus doing that. He would look cool and bold. I'm not scared anymore. Take off his ear. Jesus, did you see how I did it? Shoo! And the ear came out. He had even seen the movie afterwards. And Jesus said, no, Peter, no. Bring the ear, put it back. It's not going to be props in this next movie. Put it back. This is not what I want.
And Peter that time says, Kai. And you know, in Nigeria, when we say Kai, it means no, end of the road. So I even did it. I thought if they came after me, the high priest, Jesus would do a miracle and save me. And the same Jesus said, no, gosh, this thing, I don't think I can. So he started following Jesus from afar. And that was why it was very easy for him to deny Jesus. When they came to him, he was from a distance. No, 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 I don't know him. The second time, the third time, denied him. And then, kukuruku! It's happened already. So let's be careful. The rooster is going to crow. How many times are we denying him? When we just look at these people and we walk away, we're saying, Jesus, I don't know you at this moment. I don't love you at this moment. But God will give us a heart of repentance. We repent and we come to him and he will accept us and he will help us see the things that break his heart and let them break our hearts. And he'll help us approach them in the name of Jesus. So how much time do we still have? Open check. Yay! Okay, so can we show my story? Thank you. And please, you can watch it and then we'll ask questions later and we'll pray together. Thank you.
Izantombi yami umyeni wakho ukulindile.
Kubuhlungu ngabe nabazali. Xa kunje nje 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 ithemba ndinalo kumnyama. Sahlelentoni kulomhlaba ndisahlelentoni kulomhlaba
Mhlobo namhlanje usuku lakho olukhulu uzokuvavanya umfazi wakho omsha he
hayi ndoda kuthi funeka qala dibene nomfazi wami uThembi lo uzathi amfundise ukuthi kwenziwa njani na ndidiki ukufundisa abantu I need action
awu kodwa mhlobo wami wena uyakwazi ukubekezela ukube bekuyimini ngese ngiphekeze kwakhe kwayimanje he
hayi ndoda kum funeka dibene nomfazi wami omdala amfundise ukuthi kwenziwa njani na ndidiki usoloko ndifundisa abantu ngoba ingxaki inye abanamona
anya kuzo mhlobo wami
Ngeke mina 9 ufika kwam apha. Dina maphupho okuba ngumbhali.
Tishalo miss ngiswetha nokuthi if you want to become a good writer you must start by writing your own story.
My story. What about you?
What are your dreams?
To become a nurse. I wanted to help people. But I need to study first. What's that?
I'm treated as an outcast. Soon, you'll get fed up with me. The smell, I mean.
You are very kind. Not even my parents care about my dreams. Thank you, Mama.
Don't test my patience. Till tomorrow night, you will see. I'm telling you.
They say your husband is your owner and that your body belongs to him. So whatever he wants from you, you have to obey him. Tonight is your turn to perform your rotational duties. I also went through the same. They say you get used to it.
Thank you so much and enjoy your wife. We'll see you next time.
Dumani!
just like you. When I knew my parents left me no choice, I saw the end of my dreams. I'm so good, Bundo Tuseka cool.
Let's go. Let's go. We have no time.
I have to go.
Let's go. No time.
I have to go.
Let's go.
Oh no.
Mama!
Somehow, the first day I met you, I knew you were my door to freedom. If you're reading this note, it means I have walked through that door. You told me the easiest way to write is to start writing my story. This is my story. My uncle sent me here in exchange for 3 cows. My parents are dead. He needed the money to help treat his wife. I couldn't watch your young, unspoiled dream die like mine. I poisoned Dumani's food. I killed him. You have your whole life ahead of you. My life is gone. My dreams shattered. My VVF has left me with no one to care for me. I will find comfort in jail. That's where people like us belong. Those who never had the courage to fight.
No, 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 no. Lose my head, show me the way, let me go. Cause I wanna be free. Under the bridge, I feel like I wanna be alone sometimes. When your voice came to me and said, oh, I don't have to be afraid. In my heart, I know it's true. In my heart.
Yeah, so it's just a story of Sindiswa. Like I said, this is a true life story, and in this happened actually in Nigeria, and the case is still with the court. The human rights activists are trying to fight for her, saying that she's a child, and she killed him. She's a child. She shouldn't go to jail. But then the Muslims are also saying, no, that's their religion. And the father gave his consent for the marriage, and she killed people, basically. He died with his friends. And so that's the situation. And in Nigeria, the real person, her name is Wasila, and she fled from home. And I don't think any man would like to marry her again. But then in South Africa here, when we spoke to people, we found out that it's the same thing that has happened to them, and we've seen the cases as well. Like these people in there, they have, the main character actually is a survivor of human trafficking. And she's had that from family. People have done that to her from family. So when we went to do this movie, we didn't know any of those. And it was during the shoot that the mom told us the situation for the main character. So this is going to be a tool they can use as well to speak about her life story. And we want to handle the issues of Africa, because there's so many other things in Africa that have to do with human trafficking. There is another one that has to do with voodoo. So we're discussing all those at a conference in Simonstown, 13th to 17th of October. We're doing an international human trafficking conference for Africa. And people are going to be there. The victims who have survived are going to be there. The practitioners are going to be there from across Africa and also Europe. And if you are free, please come join. You'll find out more things to do in joining the fight against human trafficking. And we'll show some of these films as well in that event. And practitioners can take the films and go and use in their communities. So that's what we're planning to do. And I don't know if you have any questions, if God is stirring something.